I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm picking Russell Westbrook as my MVP. Of course, a lot of other people probably are. And there's another thought to it where just think about how emotional this decision is. I'm willing to admit it's a fanboy decision. And to talk about me being a fanboy for him and to talk about him being a MVP candidate and probably locking up the MVP, Eric Horn joins us. Thunder writer for the Oklahoman. Follow him on Twitter at Eric Horn with a K-O-K on Twitter. Eric, thanks for joining us tonight, bud.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Eric, first off, Russell Westbrook, I made him my MVP, and I don't even have a vote. And there's other things where I can go, well, you know, Leonard's more complete because he plays defense. Harden statistically has had a really, really good year, not up to the point of Westbrook. Why is Westbrook, though, the MVP of this league?
I think you saw it tonight. You know, take away the triple doubles. You have to remove that from the discussion, I think. The guy could be averaging 9.9 points. 9.9 rebounds, 9.9 assists, and he'd still have all these incredible finishes and his ability to elevate this team that lost Kevin Durant, who was the primary guy taking the shots at the end of games for the past 8 or 9 years. Westbrook's become that guy, and he's done it better than anybody else in the league, and he has this team going to the playoffs. I think that is his sign off on the MVP. Even more so than the historic triple doubles he's had this season.
What's been the fan base interaction with him after this last year and with Kevin Durant leaving?
It's been complete embrace from the Thunder fans. You know, they rallied behind this guy when he re-signed on August 4th the extension, and you know, you got signs all around Oklahoma City and shirts and people saying in Russ we trust, which is a dangerous proposition when. You know, you put so much stock in one athlete, as we know. You know, when you get behind these athletes and they leave in free agency, it's a tough pill to swallow for fans, and you wonder if you're able to trust again. But you know, this team this community has gotten behind Russell Westbrook, and you know, he's reciprocated with some incredible play.
What's it like covering this basketball team? And I've gotten mad at Oklahoma City in the past and their owner just because. And tell me if I'm misguided here, because you look at this team, Eric, and you've covered him, and you see, well, he's up against Harden for the MVP, who they used to have. He's going to have to play. He'll have to go through Kevin Durant and Golden State, who's won an MVP and was there and did leave in free agency. And then you have Russell Westbrook, who just signed this deal. Is it frustrating for you because they could be so much more than 46-34 and still a very good feel-good story during the regular season with Russ?
It's not frustrating for me. You know, I've been witness to some incredible things this season, and I don't take that for granted. You know, maybe there is a part of the franchise that once they sit back and say, "Man, what could have been?" But right now, they're on a wave unlike anything they've seen. Even with Kevin Durant here, Russell Westbrook has seized the NBA, and he's made the Thunder the talking point of the league every night that they're on. You know, this guy's got his own ticker at the bottom of a sports center. I mean, he's what people are following. He's the story of the league. And I don't think that the Thunder would say we'd rather have it this way than have Kevin Durant. But at the same time, it's almost an ideal situation for them after losing a top five guy in the NBA to have a guy like Russell Westbrook doing what he's doing right now.
I try to watch him as much as I can. Sometimes I'm not able to because I'm up in the early in the East. But it looks like he plays himself to near complete exhaustion every single night. Moving forward, what's the plan? Do you know a plan, or what would you do to kind of augment things and to help him out?
Well, you know, they've got to go and pursue somebody who could be a clear-cut number two night in and night out. That's probably going to have to be via trade because they're not going to have the cap space available to go get a max player like a Blake Griffin. Or, you know, even a guy like a Gordon Hayward who's probably going to re-sign with Utah. That's the start, you know. But the next point is the continual development of the guys that they have on the team. I think that the Thunder's one of the youngest teams in the league right now. They've continually had a young squad, even throughout their better years. And, you know, guys like Victor Oladipo, guys like Steven Adams, even a rookie like an Alex Abrines, who's become their best three-point shooter, they're going to have to continue to develop if the Thunder is going to be able to take that next leap into the top title contenders.
Eric Horn joining us, Thunder writer for the Oklahoma. Follow him on Twitter at Eric Horn. Is Kawhi Leonard an MVP in the future?
Yeah, totally. I mean, he's the best two-way player in the league, even better than LeBron James this year. You know, I don't see any reason why Kawhi Leonard can't be an MVP. There are a lot of people who are going to vote for Kawhi Leonard this year. I just think that it's going to come down to Harden and Westbrook at the end of the day. But Kawhi is, I mean, certainly worthy of the award. This is a tough year in terms of the MVP race. I mean, after we had, you know, a unanimous year from Steph Curry, you're getting one of the best races of all time this year because all four of the guys that are probably going to be receiving first place votes, Westbrook, Harden, James, and Leonard, they're all worthy. I mean, you can give it to LeBron James almost every year. And Kawhi, he's getting to the point to where he's going to be one of those perennial guys as well.
Well, you know, Eric, and the reason I asked the question in the first place is I know Russell stepping up on defense when he really has to. James Harden, it's non-existent to him, but he'll play a little bit in the postseason, whatever. Kawhi feels maybe the most complete, but maybe the specter of Greg Popovich looms too large that we just feel he's a sorcerer and he makes all these players better than what they really are. Is that a bad narrative?
Yeah, I think it's a little much. I mean, we've seen Kawhi come up clutch in games this year as well. You know, the overtime game against the Cavs where he closed them out. He's had some massive performances this year. So I think that whole specter of Tim Duncan, the specter of Greg Popovich, the entire idea of the Spurs just being this force that just continues to chug along no matter who's on the court, I think that does hurt Kawhi a lot. And then you got statistics like the Spurs being better when he's off the floor in certain metrics. But that shouldn't be a discredit to him and what he's done this season. I just think that he's up against two really ridiculously good seasons coming from Russell Westbrook and James Harden that have a little bit more sizzle.
What makes it work with San Antonio and how they're able to still win 60-plus games, at least 55-plus games almost every single year, and still rest guys where the Cavaliers do it and they lose 26-point leads and people freak out?
Well, I think it's a system that isn't solely reliant on one guy the way it is with LeBron James. Similar to, you know, the way that it is with the Oklahoma City Thunder and Russell Westbrook. And, you know, they're the model of efficiency, man. They're one of the best teams in the league offensively and defensively. They don't take a ton of threes, but they make a higher percentage than anybody in the league. That's what's so impressive about the Spurs is that they don't have to do anything to an extreme. They don't have to shoot a ton of three-pointers, and they don't have to be the best rebounding team in the league, but they can do everything well that you need to win basketball games. And that's the organization, testament to Greg Popovich. And again, the testament to Kawhi Leonard being able to take the mantle as the best player in that franchise.
Eric Horn joining us courtesy of the Oklahoma. And how far is OKC going this year?
I continue to see Russell Westbrook defy logic, but I still can't see them getting out of the first round because Houston has more firepower, and I feel like Houston is going to be able to steal at least one game in Oklahoma City, maybe even win two. And the Thunder, I mean, despite what Russell Westbrook's been doing over the past couple of weeks in terms of stealing some road games for him, the Thunder's not a good road team. They're going to be probably the team with the worst record on the road in the Western Conference playoffs. So I can't really see the Thunder getting out of the first round, especially without home court advantage. I'd say the Rockets will probably win that series in six.
Can the Rockets be a serious threat, or San Antonio be a serious threat to Golden State?
Certainly. I mean, I know Golden State's playing really well right now, but it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they mesh together once the postseason starts with Kevin Durant. I still think that Golden State is going to make the finals, but I've always had the thought that it's going to be interesting what happens to Kevin Durant when he gets into that final scenario. He hasn't been there in four or five years. And it's going to be intriguing to see how he handles the pressure because every eye is going to be locked on him. He's the one difference between these two Golden State teams from the previous seasons. And he's the reason that entire team was deconstructed so he could be fit into their cap. So all eyes are going to be on him. All pressure is going to be on him. And with Kevin's history playing against LeBron James, It's going to be fascinating to see how he handles that pressure and how he handles LeBron James and what the Cavs throw at him. But presuming that the Cavs make the finals, because I believe they will out of the East.
How seriously do you guys take, when you cover the Western Conference, how seriously do you take the Eastern Conference?
I mean, I take it seriously from the standpoint that the Thunder struggles against some of these Eastern Conference teams. I mean, they went into Washington. They got their doors blown off. They played Boston well. They split with Toronto. The East at the top is a formidable, I think, has formidable teams. But, I mean, let's not fool ourselves. If the Thunder was in the East, they might be a seed or two higher right now. So the East is obviously the weaker of the two conferences, but it's not something to be completely scoffed at. They have some quality teams. It just seems more like an inevitability that Cleveland's going to get to the East Finals and win the East, even when they're playing poorly, as opposed to Golden State that might see a little bit more resistance from a San Antonio or a Houston.
Eric Horn joining us on the show. I got less than 2 minutes left. You're there every day. What's it like to cover Russ? Because I see some of the sound bites and I laugh at some of the stuff. He can be cantankerous at times. What's it like to kind of get in there and actually get an answer from him?
He's one of the most fascinating people I've ever been around. I respect him from the standpoint that he doesn't treat anyone in the media any different than anybody else. I think if you come at him with a question that he's not particularly happy with, it doesn't matter who you are. You could be the biggest writer for the biggest publication or a guy like me. And I have been working around him this year. He's been, you know, there have been times it's been difficult, but at the same time, I think he's embraced his role as the leader of the Thunder. He understands that comes with more responsibility in terms of the media. And he's been good. He's been good this year. He's been better than previous years. And that's saying something considering all the attention that's been on him this season.
Does it help you in any way just because you know he's going to bristle at something or just not answer it and you can just move past it?
Yeah, I suppose. And you get into a rhythm to where you know particular questions and how to ask particular questions to where you're not going to get the hard bristle if you were to ask it a certain way. So, you know, it's just like any relationship. It takes some learning and some adjustment. And it's gotten better.
I love it. Eric, thank you very much for the time, my friend. All the best.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.